Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. I am so excited to be on this broadcast with you, and I know that you are going to be enjoying this episode today. Our guest is joining us all the way from Canada, so we are really, really going to have an amazing time. So before I get into all the housekeeping and everything, I want to ask you to tweet, text, and call all your friends and ask them to grab a chair and join us for this conversation.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, you know, every time I listen to my theme song, It is as if I am recommitting myself to you, my listeners. So I am just so honored that you have took the time to spend with us wherever you're joining us from. I want to remind you that you can be part of the conversation live by dialing 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. I want to welcome Erica Colon to the show. I want you to just encourage everyone to join into the conversation. My honored guest who's been hanging out with me in the virtual green room is my new friend and colleague out of Canada. And I do not want to mispronounce her last name, but her first name is Janik. I'm going to bring her on momentarily. You heard her on the show before because she was part of the tribe that I had on a couple weeks ago. So again, join in by calling 646-915-8166, or you can join on the website. I also want to instruct you to stop by while I am doing the announcements and housekeeping. I want for you to stop by my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com, and it's C-L-A-R-K-E, DaphneClarkHudson.com. please stop by there. Get on my mailing list. We are offering complimentary coaching for the holiday season as my gift to you. So stop by there. Not get connected with me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I invite you to stop by there. I'm also inviting you to be part of the cruise that we are doing for the Empowering People Foundation, Inc., which is a nonprofit that is founded to feed the children at my former elementary school in Jamaica a hot breakfast. I need your support in every way possible, by money and to get your knowledge, your insight, and how to raise funds. So I am really, really looking forward, really, really looking forward to you for all of your support today. Okay. All right, so that's that for now. Later on, I'm going to tell you who my guests are for Wednesday and also for next Wednesday. So without any further delay, I want to bring on live to the show my sister and friend, Yannick. Can you, my sister?
Hi, Daphne, and hi, everybody.
How are you? Would you please pronounce your name, your last name for the listeners?
I would be delighted. It's very French. So it's Lemieux when it's
Lemieux.
Pronounced French.
Okay, Lemieux. All
Lemieux.
Right.
Lemieux. Yes.
I am glad I did not try to pronounce it. And I want to welcome our first caller on the line with area code 717. Welcome to the show. When you are ready to speak, if you just touch the number 1, it will let me know that you want to speak. And to answer your question, Erica, I will go into that with my honored guest and I will let you know. But I'm sure she probably will. So I let you know the answer to your question later. All right? So now, Yannick, would you take a few minutes and introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes. I would like to start, Daphne, by expressing to you my utmost gratefulness for allowing me to be on your show and for allowing our souls to connect at Awesomeness Festival. It is so clear to me that moment when I saw you in the room when we were doing the ICU exercise and you were far in the distance ahead of me, but our eyes connected and our souls connected. And I remember we just were like magnets and drawn to each other, and we just stood facing each other and we said, "I see you and I am here." And yes, it was so profound for me, so, so profound for me, as if I was reconnecting with a long lost friend. And to be on your show today and addressing your listeners, there are no words to express the love and the gratefulness that I feel. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Alyssa Pollock is also online. She's over in Israel and she just signed on to Skype. I want to welcome all the tribers, AFES tribers who are listening. So I want to thank you. And I thank you for that honor, Yannick. It is amazing when we allow the universe to work through us, because as you know, we have spoke in the past, and my work is not about me. It's what about what the Lord wants me to do, what the universe wants me to do, and wherever the universe directs me, I will follow. I will certainly follow. So, you know, so who is Zanik? Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes, you know,
I'm this little girl, French-Canadian girl, who was born in Montreal from, I wouldn't say very, very poor parents, but parents that were definitely on the lower scale of the middle class, in a very poor neighborhood in Montreal. And I have to be really honest, my family, although they were very loving in their best possible way, my family was one of the most dysfunctional family that I know. Mm-hmm. So I have been brought up by an alcoholic dad who, you know, cheated on my mom with no one else than my mom's sister. Mm-hmm. And my poor mom was devastated. This went on for 10 years under her nose. And what's worse is that her sister, which was my father's lover, was also my nanny. So when everything just came to life, I mean, came to light, was brought in light, you can imagine the
drama. A lot of hurt.
And a lot of confusion. For me, it was 10 at the time, and my little sister was 8 at the time, who did not understand at that time what was going on. Of course, you know, when you're raised in a dysfunctional family, you think it's normal. But, however, there was always this strength in me and this love in me that made me stand out from my family. And even though I did not understand what was going on, I was still a pretty happy little girl. Despite everything.
You were special. And, you know, as I was attempting to say prior, it's always devastating when it's a stranger that brings the hurt to you. But when you find out it's right in your family, it's a sibling, it's hard. It's like I cannot even begin to imagine what your mother went through. And now I can understand why you have now committed your life to helping people to understand about love, unconditional love, and you know, who they were meant to be. So, you know, we all have amazing stories, and our stories are more similar than they are different, regardless of what part of the world we are in. Our stories are always so connected. So at 10 years, you found that out, your family found that terrible thing out, it came to light. And so what did you do after that happened?
So I was 10 years old, so we moved to another city, my mom, myself, and my little sister, and I love my mom to death. My dear mom was doing the best she could to make ends meet. And so she was working 3 jobs as a waitress to make a living, right? To put us through school and put clothing on our back. And yeah. And then she met this man, which she thought he was a wonderful man, caring and loving and attentionate and devoted to her. And it's true, he was all of that when she was home. But like I mentioned before, she was working 3 jobs. So how often was she home? Not very often. So he decided to be very, quote, loving to me, which at the time I was 12 years old. So my dear stepdaddy, you know, at my very young age of 12 years old when I was starting to become a young woman with, you know, all the new body transformation and everything that's new and intriguing to a young teenager. Well, he definitely took advantage of that. And it wasn't just once or twice or times. It was on a daily basis, Daphne. And that happened for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So from 12, I was 12 until I was 17 years old. And it was brutal. It was devastating.
Wow.
It isolated me from my family, from having friends. And and it was not easy. I can't lie to you. You know, I was at some point in my teenage years, I was suicidal. It came to an even worse point when my family found out when I was 15 years old, almost 3 years now, that it had been going on.
Right.
And it was too much for my mom to take. And you need to remember that she has just been severely betrayed by her sister, her family, ex-husband.
I know this other man know that it's taking advantage of her daughter.
Exactly.
Wow.
Because it was too much for her to take, she just left. She abandoned me with this man. And my dad, since it was also too much for him to face the fact, because if he would have looked at what was going on, it would have been a mirror to him of what he had done to my mom. So he just, excuse my language, I don't know if I can swear on the radio, but he called me a little bitch for doing this to my mom.
I can't even
believe I was left by myself with this man for 2 years, because you have to go back, you know, I'm going to tell my age here, but you have to go back to the 1980s when everything was taboo. You didn't talk about that, right? So,
Are you thinking it's your fault? You're thinking it's your fault. Who is going to believe me if I say that? It's either that or they say, listen, don't you bring shame to the family. What happens? You keep your mouth closed. You know?
Yes. And there was already enough shame in my family. They didn't want to bring more attention. Yeah. So what I did, instead of turning to drugs or to I don't know what, I turned to the Bible. And I remember reading the Bible every day and being a little bit puzzled by it because I didn't agree with everything in it. But it's funny that even at such a young age, I focused on the powerful passage in it, you know. And one of my favorite one is about love. Love is patient, love is kind, and everything else. And I remember thinking, this is me. I am love, and I am kind, you know. So when I was 17, I was old enough to work full-time in a summer job. And that's exactly what I did. I took a full-time summer job, made enough money, and as soon as I had my first paycheck, I was out of there, living on my own. And and I decided to do something very bold, and I am so glad that I did that, because it's one of the reasons why I can speak to you today. Nobody in my family speaks English but me and my children. And my husband, of course. So at 17, leaving this abusive man, I also enrolled in an English college, and I didn't speak a word of English. And
you
here
just,
I am,
just
17. I went to John Abbott College as a French girl.
beautiful.
I knew already that I wanted to travel around the world and to bring my message. Well, I didn't know that at the time, but I had the intuition that I needed English.
You were being trained. Let me stick a pin there. My caller in the chat room was asking whether we're going to be doing readings today. I told her as we continue in the conversation, we'll see what happens. But let me check in with this caller here and see if they have any remark or comments, anything to say. Caller, your last four digits are 0069. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hi, this is Erica from Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Hi, Erica. How are you? You are the same person in the chat room.
Okay.
I think so. Your last name begins with C, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's fine. Do you have any remarks or comments based on what you have said or any question?
We do have a remark as to what she just said. I can totally relate to her experience, with things that I went through. I definitely turned to the Bible. I became more involved with church just as an escape away. And I think that was it's very therapeutic.
Yes.
It really was.
Yes. Oh, but Erica, are you friends of Max?
Friends with who?
Max. Were you at AFES as well?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Your voice sounded like someone else I had met there. Okay, well, I'll mute your line back, and I'll keep coming to you occasionally to see if you have any other questions, okay?
Okay, I'll be placed on mute then, and if you guys are doing any readings, I'll go for it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, isn't it amazing how people can relate to different stories? And as you look back over those two in Zanik, how the woman you are now, how has that impacted your life over the years?
Well, that's a really great question, because I think when I was still a soul, not in a human body, before deciding to come to Earth, I think I signed up for, you know, the ultimate experiences package, where I told, you know, the divine, I just want to experience everything there is to experience about being a human. Mm. So I experienced the alcoholism of my father, the divorce of my family, the betrayal of family, the stepdad, and then my first spouse was severely abusive, not sexually, but verbally, emotionally, physically. However, out of this relationship, even though all the doctors said I would never have a child because of the abuse when I was a teenager, and because of all the internal body trauma that my body had experienced, all the doctors said I was infertile. And yet, out of this abusive relationship was my miracle baby, my daughter called Marianne. And she was born in 1992, despite what everybody had said. And I knew I was pregnant, and the doctors would argue with me, saying, no, you're not pregnant. You know, you're just imagining things. But I knew that I was, and sure enough, I was. And,
well, thank God for that blessing, you know, regardless of what man says. Man really does not have the last call. So I am thankful. I want to move on. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that who I am today is I've always had this inner light in me, this inner strive to always search for the good in everybody. And in all honesty, there have been really, really dark times in my life, like tremendously dark. I have attempted to commit suicide when I was a teenager, when I was 17, just before I left that man. And then again, when I met that abusive spouse and all that. Mm-hmm. And And yet, life, the universe, has sent what I call earth angels in my life that just reflected the love that was in me and the light that was in me. And in 1995, I became a Reiki master, or Reiki, I'm not sure, pronounce it in English.
Yeah, before we go into that, though, I want to ask you two questions. One, were you able to mend the relationship with your with your mother? And number two, how did you manage to break that mold where you kept on attracting all these abusive people towards you? So first, the relationship with your mother.
Yes. Well, that's an amazing question, because my mom was here for 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, so she went home on Thursday, and bless her heart, it is the first time ever that she spent time at my home.
Oh, what a blessing. I'm thankful.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, it is indeed a blessing.
It is. So my relationship with my mom for the longest time has been on a very superficial basis, where we wouldn't talk about anything. Mm-hmm. And but you know what, Daphne, there was this healing in me where I can't not tell you that it was one day I woke up and I forgive her and I loved her and that would be a lie.
Yeah,
it was gradual. There has been moments in my life where I really, really hated her and did not understand. But I cannot tell you when exactly, but there has a moment when I understood all her hurt. Everything she has done, if she could have done better, she would have done better. And she was hurt. And then, yet, I could look at a stranger and love that stranger unconditionally with his story and with his life baggage, or what I call treasure chest.
Yes.
And I couldn't do that with my mom, with my family, with everybody that had hurt me. It didn't make sense to me. So I investigated a little bit further. And when I realized, you know, if I say I love myself, who is myself? And when you ask, who am I, there really are too many words in that question. Because in the I, there is the ego involved. And it's really who. And who is the source, is the divine source. And the divine source is you and me and everybody else. And my mom, you know, she is also the divine source.
Exactly.
In a human body experiencing what we're all experiencing with different emotions. And I understood all her pain, all her hurt, all her past, and that she didn't do this because she wanted to hurt me.
Nope.
She did this because she didn't
She felt as if she had disappointed you, because working 3 jobs and keep food on the table and a roof over your head. And for that to happen, the last thing she was looking to do was to hurt you. But somewhere deep inside of her, she felt that she has betrayed you. And that's why she took off.
Maybe.
Well,
but what I understood is that every human being deserves love. And the people that hurt you the most is the people that need love the most.
Love
because
more. Exactly.
They're a mirror. When I'm mean to someone, even a stranger or somebody I love very much, when I say hurtful things, when I act in very hurtful ways, what does this say about me? It says that I'm not at a good place right now, because when I'm fully happy, when I'm fully owning my divinity, I am only happy and loving and forgiving and spreading love and joy and happiness. So they were hurt to act like they did, whether it be my father, my aunt, my mom, my stepdad, my spouse, or anybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, one of the important things to do when people hurt us is to take a couple of people and ask us a question. What could be hurting them that much for them to inflict such hurt on you?
Because
it's out of their hurt that they hurt. It's out of their anger that they hurt. It has nothing to do with the recipient of that hurt. Go ahead.
You are so right. You are so right. And then as a recipient of this hurt, if I choose to continue that cycle of hurting again, I'm not doing anybody
any
good.
You're not doing any justice. That's right. This leads us to the number two question, and I think you partially answered it, about how were you able to break the mold? And what I hear you say, you came to that place where you understand you needed to view your mother from her divine self, from her divinity, and to demonstrate unconditional love for her, to love yourself, to love your father, to love that other man and that spouse. And when you began seeing them in the light of love, you were able to heal yourself.
And to break the cycle.
And to break the cycle. Amazing. If you are just joining us at 646-915-8166, we would like to hear from you. Zanik, if you want to read any angel cards, you can let me know, because that lady was asked. So if you want to do, if you think that's something you want to do, you can let me know later on. She's still listening.
Yes.
So she'll
say, I would be honored to.
Oh, okay, great. So, Erica, I hope you heard. She says she would be honored to. So, I guess you will need to call back in, or I will open your line, because she's still on the phone line. I'll open your line, Erica, and then she could probably do that for you. So, You went through all that turmoil in the beginning of your life, yet you had an extremely luxurious life. You were employed to a top corporation. You had a good life. And after many years there, you decided, no, I want to go out and do that which I was called to. Let's talk about your corporate days.
I would love to do that. Just, I will ask you to remind me to also about my weight, because I did went through a journey of losing 100 pounds, and it has to do with that unconditional love. But
why don't you address the weight now, and then we go to corporate.
Okay. So, growing up, so you've heard about everything that was happening to me as a young kid and as a teenager. And I was putting on a lot of weight. And everybody, you know, I used to go to the doctors, to the dietitians, and I did every diet that's out there. I've been followed by everybody. My thyroid, I'm sorry for the pronunciation, but it's fine.
Okay.
There was nothing physically wrong with me except that my body was putting on layers after layers after layers.
You were internalizing all the hurt, yeah.
Yeah, and without going into all the details, here's the key to how I was able to lose the weight and not put it on, and that's by thanking my fat, my layer, my oversized, for protecting me all these years. And this sounds really silly, and it wasn't easy.
Oh.
I'm not saying, you know, it was really hard. There were days where I was not able to do it, but I persevered, and I kid you not, I was a size 26 and I was, it was tight, so 250 something pounds.
Wow.
And then, and slowly but surely, and with different methods, I lost it. But here I am today. I'm a size 12 today, and I still have pounds to lose. But every day now, and especially even more so since A-Fest, because now I sing in front of the mirror.
Yes, yes.
Whereas
and
before
it,
I would
it,
just...
Isn't it, you know, people listening, what you just shared is powerful. Because I think a lot of teenagers in today's society that are suffering from obese, it has nothing to do with the food. It has to do with what they are internalizing. Because that's what happens. If they cannot physically protect themselves, they try to have an image. They work towards having an image that they are feeling will not be attractive for them to be attacked. And as troubling as this might sound, this is what is happening in our world today.
Yes. The one thing I don't want to mislead your listeners is that you cannot just be at home and look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, thank you for protecting me all these years. That's one element. Yes, my food intake has changed and my activity level has changed and my mindset has changed and a lot of things have changed.
It's a combination.
But none of that would have changed if I would not have stopped in my tracks and say, first of all, I am grateful for my heart that keeps on beating. I am grateful for my lungs that keep on keeping me, you know, on keeping the oxygen. I just started to be grateful about everything that was right
every
with my
aspect,
body
every aspect,
instead of focusing on what I
thought was
wrong with my
right.
body. But it was not wrong. It was doing what it thought needed to do, which was protect me.
Protect you, which was what you needed then. But, you know, I honor you for stepping up and for saying yes to knowing that you need to do the work. And as long as you do the work, and regardless of what it is, so long as we do the work, we are going to get the result. So we don't know who is listening today and what work it is that you have to do in your life. But that's the first step. You must say yes, knowing that there's something I have to do. And after you say the yes, you show gratitude that you were smart enough to say yes. And as she say, you look around us. I mean, you can always find so much to be thankful and to be grateful for. You can hear, you can see, you can taste. None of these things should be taken for granted. So that's the first step of you healing yourself from regardless of the struggles that you're going through.
We mentioned earlier that I was reading the Bible when I was a teenager, but I met a friend who was Muslim, and you know, her religion was not, I was brought up Catholic, so we had a lot of things not in common. We had a lot of things in common, and through my life I met different people from different religion. And I realized that religion was really not for me. I believe in the divine. I believe in God. And I believe, I like to joke around and say that my religion nowadays is the religion of gratefulness. And
I
give gratitude, literally, every morning I write down a gratitude journal. And throughout the day, I give thanks about everything, whether it's big or little. And I tell you, Daphne, it's so empowering, and you feel so rich. Because when you think you have nothing, and yet you can hear, you can taste, you can see, you can talk.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have
and
everything.
Even we take things for granted in our society. It's unbelievable how much everything is taken for granted.
And people have a sense of entitlement. They think they have to wake up and they must see and they must walk. And it's a gift. It is indeed a gift. This is indeed a gift. At what stage are you going to want to do the reading?
Maybe during the last 15 minutes, would that be good?
Okay. All right, great. So let's talk about your corporate days.
Yes. So that's also very ironic because in my family, I'm the only one who has I'm not sure how to say it in English, pardon my language, but I have higher education, let's put it this way.
Secondary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I went to college and university, and I'm really proud of that. Although I think that's another topic on another day about education nowadays. However, I was able to, even at a very young age, I was so devoted in my education when I went to that English college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my drug. I had to make a new life for me. I had no family. I had no friends. I had nothing.
No support. You had the families, but they weren't supportive at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the friends that, you know, I don't know, most of the people in college remembered me from when I was a teenager. And it's funny, everything was taboo. So I was the kid that the stepdad drove to school, you know, in the morning, at lunch, after lunch, and after school. So they somehow thought that I wanted this, or, you know, I was labeled as different.
So he could have control over you. That's why he was driving you back and forth, right? Because during the day, you were a student, but you go back home and you were automatically put into the place of a spouse.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So anyway, I devoted myself to education, and despite it being my second language, I was amongst the top 5% of my program. So as soon as I graduated, I was recruited by a big corporation with a really good job, and I was only 21. And back then, to get a job when you were 21, fresh out of school, it was a blessing. So I jumped on it, and I had money, and I could pay for that. And so I worked and didn't fit in. I heard some of your other interviews that you did, and other people said that you never fit in. And it's no exception for me. I didn't fit in. I didn't buy in all the bad, negative talking and all the gossip, and it wasn't for me. And then I had my daughter and this and that. And long story short, you know, I had to leave my job because of my daughter and my spouse, which I won't get into it right now.
Right.
And years
right.
later, that job came back to recruit me. And I accepted, and I worked. So that was about 4 years ago. And it was a dream come true to be, I was a corporate trainer for a French-Canadian woman. It's a big thing, you know, to travel all across North America to have a six-figure salary, you know. But
beautiful.
The six-figure salary came with all the extra hours, you know,
and
the overtime
responsibilities.
And all that.
Yeah, responsibilities.
There were signs telling me that this wasn't it. I was really unhappy. It was a very toxic environment. It didn't reflect my values. It didn't respect us as the employees, didn't respect the clients, and it just was not a good fit. And at one point, despite all the fears, you have to choose what is best for you. Some people give themselves the excuse, well, I don't have a choice. My family needs it. Oh, I don't have a choice.
No.
I have a mortgage to pay. I don't have
not
a choice.
Any justice when you operate like that, because unless you can be whole and healthy and well and do what's adding value to your life, you are not in a position to add value to anybody else's life. Sometimes it's your spouse, your children, your siblings. You got to stay true to you so that you can be the best person to all the other people who are expecting you to give them
yeah.
your best. Let me check in with my caller to see if she have any questions. Caller, your last digits are 069. Do you have any questions? Erica? I think she's not hearing. Erica, are you there?
Okay.
All right, so I close her line back. She's probably multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Continue, please.
Yes. Well, this job was so toxic that I was allowing it to transform me in somebody I was not.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime in the spring of 2012,
mm-hmm.
I had a major breakdown. I was in the state
mm-hmm.
of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a horrible, horrible day at work. And I think I was on week 8 of a 12-week stretch of
assignment.
Flying out on Sunday morning and
mm-hmm.
getting back home either very late Friday night or early Saturday morning. And that was the 8th
wow.
week. And it was a
wow.
Monday morning or Monday. And I had to work with this colleague who was definitely unhappy in his life and making sure
mm-hmm.
that everybody knew how.
But as he knows, was unhappy.
He was making everybody's
wow.
life miserable. And that
wow.
night, because I had lost touch with my inner self,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember the last time I had meditated.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so stressed out and tired. And I didn't have all the resources that I usually did. So I thought my best stress management strategy that night would involve sympathetic colleagues in Texas, a
mm.
bottle of tequila, and the cops.
Wow.
That wasn't good. That was really red flags telling me,
mm.
you know, Janique, you're lucky you're alive right now. You're lucky you're
yes.
not in jail
yes.
right now. And
yes.
you better do something.
Yes,
and that
yes.
was the beginning of the end of my corporate job, which I
mm.
am really, really glad that
mm.
I quit
mm.
in May of this year to
mm-hmm.
fully embrace who I am, what my life purpose is supposed to be, or is not supposed to be, what my life purpose is, and
mm-hmm.
to be who I am and to shine
mm-hmm.
my light and my message and to inspire people to choose love
right.
every time.
All right. I'm going to have a word from our sponsor. And when I come back to you, I want us to talk about self-care and self-love and what that means to you.
I would love
that. AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
All right. I want to stop by my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com. Fill out that form there And you can get on my mailing list to you will be kept informed of who my upcoming guests are, who we are having on the show, and where I am speaking. And also we are giving away 30 minutes of complimentary coaching so you can sample my work and what it is that I do. I want to invite you back right here on Wednesday morning at 10 when my guest will be Lee Bauer, and he's going to be talking about family leadership and empowered wealth from 10 to 11 a.m. And then from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern Standard Time, we are going to have Judy Winslow, and she's going to be discussing unforgettable brands for entrepreneurs. So I look forward to seeing you back here Wednesday. And also on Sunday, next Sunday, we'll be talking about Beyond Hope. So we have a lot of things lined up for you. So I look forward to seeing you here. And I also look forward to seeing you sign up on my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com. I need to keep you informed with all the things that we are doing. Let me see if Miss Erica is back. Miss Erica, are you back? Hello, Miss Erica. All right, she's not back, so I guess I think she'll hear. And you heard Zanik mention, if you want to have her read angel card for you, you're going to need to call in 646-915-8166 during the last 15 minutes of the show. Once you call in, she'll instruct what next needs to take place. So let's talk about self-care and self-love as it applies to your life on this journey. Let's talk about that, Zanik.
Yes. Well, let's talk about self-care. Mm-hmm. First of all, self-care for me involves eating very healthy. I juice mm-hmm. every day. You know, we have two fridges, and I like to joke around that a lot of people have a second fridge for their beer, but our mm-hmm. second fridge is for produce.
mm-hmm.
We buy healthy food. It's all about a conscious choice. And mm-hmm. some people will have all kinds of excuse, just like keeping a job that's not fitting for you. You don't need excuses when it's the right thing to do. And mm-hmm. I will not, absolutely not, buy in the excuses of, oh, it's too pricey to eat healthy. How much does it cost you to be unhealthy? How much does it cost you to buy all the medicine and all the prescription drugs and your sick days?
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely not. I do not buy into those excuses. So I juice every day. We also have
How many juices you do per day?
Well, we have a big jar that is filled up, and we juice. Like I eat. That's my breakfast, and usually it's my lunch also.
Okay, so you do two juices a day, which is what, and then you do a meal later on.
I'm not vegetarian at all. I have ventured that way before, but mm-hmm. it's not for me. It's not to say that I will never be or that it's wrong. It's just not for me right now.
Exactly.
But you know, and I also avoid everything that is gluten because I realized that what was wrongly diagnosed as fibromyalgia, I don't have fibromyalgia. And, you know, Daphne, it was so severe at one point, I was issued a handicapped parking sign for my car because I could barely walk. And that was less than 4 years ago. I could barely walk. Can you can you imagine?
Oh, yes,
and
I
all
can.
Because. Yes. And I thought I was eating healthy, you know, whole grains and whole wheat and all this and all that. And I was the queen of grains. Everything was whole something in my house, in my pantry. And then my intuition, my inner guidance self, one day brought me to a book absolutely by divine intervention, and I read the back of the book, and I recognized myself. And then I looked at the title, and it was like, you know, I think it's called Wheat Belly, the book that it was. And I was like, oh, my God, could it be? And I tried it, and within 3 days, 3 days, not 3 weeks, not 3 months, 3 days, most of my symptoms were gone.
Okay.
So I stay away from gluten nowadays. And however, I'm also into the law of attraction. I absolutely believe that thoughts become things. Our thoughts are so powerful because they trigger emotions and all that, and that everything happens for a reason, and that we are divine beings, and that we are perfect as we are. So this being said, the teachings of Abraham, it's a divine being that Esther Hicks works with, and he once said something about all the allergies out there, which opened up a new way of thinking for me, that even the gluten-free intolerance is something that I self-impose on myself. So lately, I would say for the last 6 months, I've been playing with the thought that, maybe I have to work with that too. So that's where I am.
Wonderful,
so
wonderful.
That's for the eating. And for the rest of the self-care, I take time for myself every day. I meditate every day. I mentioned earlier to your listeners and to yourself, I do a gratitude journal every morning. I get in touch with my inner self, with my guardian angels, with my spiritual guides. I have a very close connection with them. I know exactly when I'm not feeling right, when I'm not feeling good. And whereas most people look for excuses out there or for reasons or some justification outside of them, I know. I know. Even when I am tempted to blame something else, that it's within me. So I always go back to me.
Zanik, I want you to take some time and explain for the listeners who are novices and really don't understand about the guardian angels and all of what you just mentioned. Break it down for us who is really not educated in that area. What do you mean by that, and how can others get to you?
Wow, that's a question that I could talk about for 90 minutes by itself, but I'll try
just touch a few highlights.
Right. Well, first of all, even when I do readings for people, I always connect. Everybody has guardian angels. Everybody, whether you believe in it or not, it's not a matter of you believing. It's a matter of fact. So we have guardian angels. We have spiritual guides. We have ascended masters, whether they're in the past, present, or future. And when I do angel readings, I always, always invoke them, give thanks to them for assisting us and for leading the person to me, to my soul, and for enabling me to be a vessel for the message that needs to be transmitted. And what I do usually is I just sit quietly. It doesn't need to be quietly. Just, okay, let me backtrack a second. One thing I really despise are all the rules about meditation. And there's so many ways and so many teachers and all that that I feel a lot of people feel overwhelmed with all the rules, and it just provides a lot of excuses for not meditating. And one of my master once told me, if you have time to breathe, which is everybody, because if we wouldn't breathe, we wouldn't live, you have time to meditate. So whether you're doing the dishes, whether you're fixing your car, whether you're shoveling snow, whether you're mowing the lawn, whether you're grocery shopping or driving, meditation for me is being in the moment.
And be still.
Yeah. And then there's many types of meditation. It can be contemplative. It can be breath work. It can be mantra work. Then you choose, you know, depending on your circumstances and the moment, what is the most convenient for you.
But the other thing, what I am not following, I understand that for you, you are a teacher. You have been practicing for many years. So for the layman or the person out there who has never done this and they are listening to the show now and they are listening to how rewarding it is to your life and they want to start, how do they begin to get involved in this?
What I would suggest is start with breath work and set an intention for maybe a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on where you're at in your life. Take a few minutes, sit down with yourself in a quiet environment, and just focus on your breath. And that's it. And
just keep breathing in and out. Do you need to breathe through your mouth or through your nostrils?
I breathe in through my nose, hold it, and breathe it out. So it would be like breathe in 1, 2, 3, 4, and depending on the person, 5, 6, 7, or maybe 1, 2. And then try to hold it in for that same amount of time. So if I breathe in 1, 2, 3, hold it in for 1, 2, 3, breathe out for 1, 2, 3, and just concentrate on the air passing through your nostril and focus where the air is going in your body and be thankful for that oxygen that keeps you alive and that nourishes all your organs and your blood and everything in your body. And as you exhale out, just concentrate on your breath. And as you do that, of course, your mind will stray if you're not used to it. And here's what I find most students do as a mistake. They will get angry at themselves. They will think, oh, I'm so not good at this. This is not for me. This is too difficult. Here I am thinking about my bills again, about the phone call I have to return, about the meeting that's coming up. And then what I say is when you catch yourself, you know, when you catch that thought, whatever that thought is, instead of being angry or guilty or feeling stupid and calling yourself names, why not be grateful that you were able to catch yourself and express gratitude that, wow, great, great, I caught myself. Okay, so back to my practice.
Yes, yes. So with some what you're saying, you need to be super religious to get involved in meditation.
Absolutely not.
Because there are a lot of people who think that, oh, I'm not religious, so I can't be meditating and all of that. So it doesn't take any specific training, spiritual training. Just simply starting out by concentrating on your breath.
That's what I recommend us to start a practice. Yeah. And then follow your intuition to the practice. There are so many different meditation practices out there. There is one that's for you. And you, if you follow your inner guidance and your intuition, you will be led. And you might need to experience a few. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, just go ahead and experiment. It's like when you're going to buy a car. You need to test drive cars.
Yeah, you try the shoes on and walk in the store to make sure it fits you. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. As you look at your life now and you are involved in a lot of different teachings that you are helping others to direct their lives, what are some of the advantages that you have gotten out of these practices? You know, what makes you in the morning based on the new things you're doing?
Well, first of all, everything that I teach, I have put in practice in my life. I am lucky. I've been with my husband now for 12 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I am so blessed and so grateful to have this wonderful man in my life. And he came at a time where I was not looking for any companionship in my life. But it was at a time where I was fully happy with myself.
Yeah,
so
you were healed. You were healed, so you made room.
Absolutely.
For him. So that's wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
Wow.
So, like you said, I'm many things now, but it's all around the same theme. It's about helping people choosing their thoughts, and I believe that we have options and choices every day. That no matter what the circumstances of your life are, and believe me, I've been there. I have. Been there. It's always a question of choice. Do you want to stay there? Do you want to be to have a pity party? Do you want to be the victim? Well, that's okay. If that's what you want, I'm not here to blame you or to
judge you. Yeah,
it's
life
your,
is
it's
about
choice and it's your experience. However, if where you are right now is not what you want, and that you have this inner, if you have this inner voice that's calling you for something else, well, you can get there. And it's step by step. Sometimes there are baby steps, and, you know, I have moved forward in my life to only to take many steps back, but to keep on choosing to move forward. And nowadays, like I said, you know, happily married, 12 years now, every day of my life, I wake up thanking the universe for having this man in my life. We are still in love today as it was 12 years ago. We have five wonderful children. It's a blended family, granted, but these children, I have my daughter, which is now 21, and my spouse has four children also. And although they are not my blood children, I call them my heart children because they all are in my heart.
Beautiful.
And,
beautiful.
You know, we were at one point in our lives, we were on the verge of bankruptcy, and now we have this very, very good life, and I'm grateful and thankful for it, and I pay it forward every day. And I believe my mission in life is to share the tools that I've used in my life, such as choosing love and, you know, being in touch with your divine self and a lot of radical work. And I'm a law of attraction coach, so changing your thoughts, changing your emotions, elevate your vibration in order to attract in your life what it is that you really want. And it's not just fake talk. I mean, my life is a reflection of what it is I teach.
It's
and
beautiful.
That's my message.
Beautiful. In We are 20 minutes. In another 5 minutes, she's going to start doing the reading. So call in if you want to have her do a reading for you. 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Call in with your comments, your remark, your feedbacks, anything that it is that you have that you want to call in about. We are here to listen to your call and to include you into part of this conversation. So for the people who are struggling in their businesses, in their family life, and they are finding it so difficult to really forgive and to move on, what would you like to share with them?
I would like to share with them that we are all from the same source, and that when you start acknowledging that what you see in others is always a reflection of what's in you. So whether I see how magnificent you are, that's mm-hmm. because it is in me also. Or
right.
if I see something in you that is really troublesome for me, it's something mm-hmm. that I need to heal in myself. But when mm-hmm. you start realizing that everybody is out there trying to make the best out of this earth experience, that mm-hmm. everybody wants to shine their light. Some people forgot they even have a light to shine. But when you can shine your light and own your own light and give yourself permission to be who you really are, well, you give permission to everybody else around you to be who they really are, to be
Beautiful.
Authentic. And
that's right.
One thing that's truly, truly important for me is when you say yes to anybody else,
mm-hmm.
make sure you never
you say, yes.
say no to yourself in
That's
the process.
That's right. You need to first say yes to you, and then you're going to begin to say yes to everybody else instead of vice versa. It's amazing.
Yeah, some people think, well, it's too egoistic to be like
mm-hmm.
that. And
mm-hmm.
I answer, no. It's
nope.
ego care. It's not.
That's right.
It's self care. You know, it's
that's
not
right.
selfish. It's self wise.
Exactly. And that's why people are burnt out, because they keep doing for everybody else and neglect themselves. And they
yes.
wait until, you know, things is hitting rock bottom that they begin to want to take care of themselves. And a lot of times it is so far gone. But
yes.
I tell on giving from your overflow. If you're giving from your full cup, that's a problem. You have to give from the overflow. So that's why you have a saucer. And when you keep all the excess in the saucer, and that's what you're going to give, because what is in the cup is for you. You know, and it's just practical, simple things, but that's how the life works.
Yes,
okay.
I've used that example many times too. I love
yes.
that example. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, because it is so true.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like to tell to your listener about, you know, getting out there and succeeding at achieving their goals
mm-hmm.
is that you need steps. You need action. You cannot
mm-hmm.
sit in your car and plug in the destination in your GPS and expect your car to drive you there if you never start driving.
That's
so
right.
whatever your goal is in life, even if it's kind of undefined right now, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. Just start driving and you'll know where you have to go. You need to trust that where you are right now, wherever you are in the world, wherever you are with in the world right now, whatever time it is in the world, the
mm-hmm.
circumstances in your life right now are perfect.
That's
they
right.
They are exactly as they are supposed to,
supposed to be.
Everything
mm-hmm.
in your life has led you to this perfect moment. And
mm-hmm.
it's not baggage. It's a unique treasure chest. You have unique treasures that nobody else has. It's
That's
your
right.
unique experience that mm-hmm. has led you to this perfect moment in your life mm-hmm. to get where you want to go.
I think we really don't spend as much time on our uniqueness and our authenticity, and that's why a lot of times you observe people chasing their shadows and trying to compete with everybody else and leaving what they were called to do, laying dormant on the
yes.
wayside. Yeah, we
and
have,
always waiting for the right moment, or always
yeah,
waiting
right
for somebody else to do something for them. But really, to you, start moving
and
right
always,
now. And
that's right. Action. Action is very vital. Action is
action. Absolutely. The universe will conspire to bring you everything you need as soon as you start taking actions.
Action. Responsibility, decision, and action, they are very important words that all of us need to. We are at 14 minutes, so no one calls in, and if no one calls in, I think you can begin to wrap up. If anybody else calls in, then I will stop for you to do the reading. So you can just give some highlights on what you want to leave the listeners with, please.
I'd love to leave your listeners with maybe a guided meditation. How would that sound?
Let us leave it for the last maybe portion, so that we'll go out with the meditation. Why don't you go ahead and tell them how to reach you? We have mm-hmm. 13 minutes remaining. How long is your meditation?
It can be 2 minutes or five minutes.
Okay.
It's
All right. So we have we are down to 13 minutes now. So that's fine. Perfect. Tell people
if you feel that you would like to get in touch with me for whatever reason, there's many ways you can get in touch with me. You can reach me through email, and my email address is Janick Lemieux, so that's J like John, A-N-I-C-K, Lemieux, @hotmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook, and you can also find me on LinkedIn, and feel free to email me. There's different ways that I can assist you. I do angel card readings. I am a certified angel card reader by Doreen Virtue.
Explain what all of that means so they understand the different things you do.
Yes, the angel card reading is, there are different decks of cards. One is the tarot cards by Doreen Virtue and Radley Valentine put together. And basically, I get in touch with your spiritual guides, your guardian angels, and the ascended masters, and I ask them to connect with mine. And I do intuitive readings, and I have done many, many so far. And it's absolutely beautiful how it works, because it's not me, Janick, delivering the messages. It's really me becoming a vessel for messages that you need to hear right here, right now, being delivered to you. And sometimes they make no sense to me. And English being my second language, it's really strange. Sometimes I'll even pronounce words that I don't know of, and they're the exact words for you.
Wow.
So that's the angel card readings. I'm also a law of attraction life coach. And what that means is, as a life coach, I take you where you are right now, focus on where you want to be, and make sure that you get there. And how this works compared to traditional life coaching is that I spend absolutely no time looking back on what went wrong in your life, because the law of attraction says whatever you focus on, you attract. So if I start focusing with you on all the bad things in your life and all the misfortunate circumstances that led you there and let you dwell in it, then I do you no favor because your emotions will vibrate at that level and you'll attract more of that in your life. So what we do is we focus on what it is that you want, on bringing you to a vibrational level that of reflecting what it is that you want. So if you want to be happy, if you want to be at peace, if you want to be successful, if you want to attract the right life partner, whatever it is that you really want, that's what we focus on. We focus on your success. We focus on things that are going right in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's what we do as a law of attraction coach. And okay. I've had absolutely wonderful testimonials of how I am able to assist people. I also do some retreats. Some can be customized. Some are just in partnership with other people. I also conduct workshops. I call them treasure map workshops because they're the traditional, how do they call it, vision boards, right? So just like vision boards, I call them treasure map because you're really mapping the treasures that you want to find in your life. And by focusing on them and by elevating your vibration to the level of that, you attract it to your life. And lastly, not so long ago, I have been certified as an Infinite Possibilities trainer with Mike and Indy Dooley. And again, it's about the law of attraction. So I facilitate workshops really trying to change the world one person at a time, making them realize that their thoughts literally become things.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we don't admit, and I think now is the time that you can lead us in the meditation. And I want to thank you for investing time in my my listenership and my vision and my mission and continued success in everything that you do.
Thank you, Daphne. Please know how much I love you. And I want once again to express my gratitude to you. And I want to say to all your listeners that your soul knows how much we are all connected. And I would like to share this meditation with you with all my love, with joy, and peace.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you also. So, if you could find a comfortable place where you could sit and close your eyes and really be aware of your body. Feel how it connects with either the chair you're sitting on or the couch or the floor if you're sitting on the floor. And feel your feet and your legs and your back and your core and your head and your arms. Close your eyes and take a really deep breath. Hold it for a few seconds and exhale. And as you take in your next breath, I would like you to focus on how the air feels coming up your nostrils and directed to the heart of your belly. Hold it for a few seconds and exhale again. And you will keep on breathing like this in a slow, stable, peaceful rhythm, breathing in, holding it in, and breathing out. And I want you to focus on positive aspects of your life as you breathe in. So if you breathe in, realize how fortunate you are to be sitting on a chair or whatever your environment is, and hold it in. And as you breathe out, let go of any negative emotions that no longer serve you. And you continue realizing how grateful you are for really great things such as your heart beating, to the smallest details such as your little toe, which is essential to the stability of your core, that we too often take for granted. And then start thinking and asking yourself, what else in your life do you take for granted? And what else could you give thanks for? And as you continue breathing in, holding it in, and breathing out, realize just how wealthy you are of everything in your life, whether it be relationships, your environment, your health, and all your blessings. And any blockages, false beliefs, negative emotions that are preventing you from being fully in power of your divine being, release it as you exhale, giving thanks for the awareness of letting it go. You are a divine being. There is no need to judge yourself, as you are perfect just the way you are. As you focus on your positive attributes, you are able to manifest positive circumstances in your life, bringing you positive results, positive outcomes, and assisting you to live a more fulfilled life and stand in your power. And whenever you have resistance with thoughts of being selfish, remember that it's not being selfish, it's being self-wise. For as you give yourself permission to shine your light, you give everybody else permission to shine their light. And imagine what world it would be if everybody would be authentic, if everybody would live on purpose in the moment. If you are at peace with yourself, you give yourself permission to others to be at peace with themselves. And imagine a world where everybody is at peace with themselves. Peace in the world starts with peace with yourself. So take one last breath in. Exhale. You are magnificent. I love you I am grateful for you. You were born to shine. Please shine on.
Namaste.
Namaste, Daphne.
Lord, to see me through, will you let me?